Okay, the cider. Oh, there's Rumineshi. And good, okay. So yesterday we saw this musag of Klal Yisrael as a color is mevateles daita v'ritzoyne v'mash v'nafsho etzel abal kehefko. That the person has to do ma rotzon Hashem. We have to always ask ourselves, what does Hashem want? What does Hashem want? But then we saw the goyin who explained yeshikeni min hashikos pihu. It's talking about two aspects. The first is the asay. The first is the asay. That's the anoich Hashem elokecho. That's connected to the mitzvah asay. And then there's the lot asay, the lotie Elohim acherim. That's the negative aspect, and that's the aspect we see in kiddushin. The lo yeh lecho is the aspect of kiddushin. Kiddushin means you moved all and you offer to everybody else except me. That's the halachic definition of what kiddushin is. So kuf chaf vav, he says like this. Isu ze. So the spark what we came out with yesterday was this aspect, what we call exclusiveness, yechidiot. That the relationship with Hashem has to be an exclusive relationship. You can't have a relationship, you can't have a marriage, however good the marriage is, but there's somebody else interfering in the marriage. There's an odd mishu in the marriage. You can't have that, yeah?
What are mothers-in-law?
Huh?
I said, what about mothers-in-law?
You married to your mother-in-law?
No, you said no one interfering in the marriage.
Yeah, in the marriage. She's not interfering in the marriage. She's interfering in your yeshuv adas. It's not got nothing to do with the marriage. Yeah. Gemara doesn't say problem mother-in-laws with son-in-laws. The problem is daughters-in-laws with mother-in-laws. I don't see the way. You ever coined the Gemara for mother-in-laws being a problem? I don't see it. But you're right. Mother-in-laws do tend to interfere sometimes. Okay, whatever. Just because they care, Baruch. Just because they care. That's all. Okay. No, so we said you can make Kaddish many women, Babasachas also, but you can only be miyachid with one person at a time. You can't have yichud with two people. That's a stirim in ayobay. Then we said it has to be the yachas to the relationship they have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The relationship we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is it has to be exclusive. It can't be tolu on something else. And you see that right in the beginning of Shara Betochen. Right in the beginning of Shara Betochen, the Chayiv Salavavos brings out a Moedik Echidish, where he says that if a person has Betochen in anything other than Hashem, so then Hashem takes away his Ashgocha on that person in that area and leaves him to the person he has Betochen in. Which, besides the fact that that's terrifying, that's probably the worst case scenario you could ever dream up, Aval, you see that idea, yeah. It has to be exclusive. The minute there's something else in the yichud room, then there's no yichud with Hashem. The minute a person's trusting something other than Hashem in that area, Hashem doesn't exist. He's not there. He just doesn't come there. That's the need, this exclusiveness. So he carries on, he says, "Isa zuhu inyan mahuti, v'ukashul etzem anasui." This isa of lo yeir, Elohim Acherim, that's essential. That cuts to the core of what a marriage is. Halotase, hainu prishiva avdolemi kol keshi mishu achel zulose. What is the lotase? Lotase means I have nothing, no other relationship, no other kesha other than this one. Zuhua yosod vahabasis sholav nive keshen esui. That's the basis of building a marriage. Biladav yipul abinyan. Without that, the building falls. That's understood. That's the definition of marriage is exclusivity. Ha'asei shel anusuin, ahava ach v'sholem v'reis ben ish li'ishtoi, chashuvim hay mod. The asei, the mitzvahs asei, the ahava, the reus, the love, the warmth, the compassion, that's very important. No one's going to say not. Ach gamim yesh betchum ze aliyas v'yiridois, in the area of the achva, the ava, even though there's ups and downs, some days are better than others, aval etzem chayin assume ain't an ivgoy. You haven't destroyed the marriage. The marriage carries on. the better days, there's worse days. There's some days where, yeah, the achva, ava, shalom, verius is not so good. Some days it's wonderful. But the etzem, you sort of, the marriage is not disturbed. Luma zois, ishmiris halotase, if you're not guarding the lotase, when a person goes in, he's looking for relationships outside the house. That's not a marriage. You've just destroyed the marriage at the foundation. Like we said yesterday, the mashal, the example I brought, could be the best in the mitzvahs. I say could be the best marriage in the world. But one slip up in the love, and you'll be ekel against a marriage because that's not a marriage. Kachu b'mashal v'kachu b'nimshal. So let's see how this relates to Hashem. And how this relates to us, and how this relates to us specifically today. Hadveikus b'kodesh bohu hi mohut hayudi. What is the essence of a Jew? What is the if you want to know what's the mohus, the essence? What's the core of what a Jew is? That's the kesher that he has with Hashem. Ha'av l'Hashem hi tivit sherei nishmas hayudi chetzav mitachas kisei kovod. The love for Hashem is something we have instilled in us naturally. It's part of our teva. It gets closed over, it gets blocked, it gets schmutzed, it gets damaged. Well, it's a natural part of us. Why? Because we come from something, we cleaved out of something, we carved out of something that comes from Tachas Kisei HaKovod. We yearn the neshama. That's what happened at Sana. What happened at Sana is when Hashem came down on the mountain, the neshamas saw Hashem, and the neshamas flew towards Hashem. That's why the bodies got flung back. There was such a force of the neshama flying towards Hashem, because that's where we come from. And the thing is always drawn after its source. So there's a natural desire to go back to your source, to go back to what's chikum amtachim v'kulam machmodim. It's just the sweetest, most beautiful place to be. Ulam kadei the kesher ze ye ye amiti. Eat in a mutzak, in order for this kesher to be genuine and sustainable, you have to be very careful not to bring anything external into the relationship. Don't look for love outside of your relationship with Hashem. Go look outside for other connections. Now we're going to deal, we'll have a look. What's the halacha l'maisa? What's the practical application of this understanding? The understanding that a person's relationship has to be exclusive with Hashem. We will see there's a demand anak. It's not so posh, practically. But you'll see that it's not so difficult either. It's not so difficult as long as you're a little bit aware. The person needs to have his a little bit of machshava, bit of correct kavanas, and you'll see, it says, lo kol kach kashe. Lo kashe at all. Ha'historia shel ha'am ha'yehudi melamedes otanam at the top of Kuf Chav Zayin. History of the Jewish people teaches us only too well, shekol ha'yeridas haruchnias she'iru leklal Yisrael. All the spiritual yeridas that happened to Klal Yisrael, Koru begal siba achas. They all happened for one reason. Pnei v'hiskarvus legoy. Turning and going after the goy. What we call assimilation. Lav dafka marriage assimilation, but general assimilation. Keshe pninu legoyim, keshe chashechnu, v'havaleyim v'tanu gayim. When we turned our face towards the Goyisha world and we had a cheshek, we had a desire, we had enjoyment from the hevel and enjoyment that a Goy has, when we thought that there's another source of pleasure in the world, when we thought that there's pleasure in the world, that a Yidah Sheikhus in the world to something outside of Torah and the kiyum of mitzvahs. So then we went with Hashem alone. And there, into that world of that Issa of don't even have gods besides me. That was the beginning of every Yerida Ruchnias Kasheh that happened to Klal Yisrael. Ki hakesher bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein Am Yisrael is oire v'nifgam hayichud mitzad hakala. Mitzad hakala, there was a pagam in the Chayri Yichud, in the Yichud of this relationship, of this marriage. Okay? What's your gut reaction when you hear this? What's your muskal rishon? What's the first thing you're thinking? Just the first thing that came into you. You got a bit tense. You were upset. You weren't listening. Salom Shaneh. No? What was your first reaction? Oh! Shkoyach. Rabbi Yosef just said that there's things in the world for us to enjoy. Hashem put things in the world for us to enjoy. Nachon, excellent. Anything else? I mean, it's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not talking Dargis and Hasidus and Tzidikus and quoting the Arizal or the Maharal, even for that matter. It's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you Svadi or Ashkenazi, it's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, Shavisa Hashem Negdi Tomid. Tomid. Tomid means Kolazman. Okay? The usual reaction to this, the first gut, the first like muskal rishon reaction to when you hear this is, but 1 second, I know that I get more pleasure sometimes from other things besides Torah and mitzvahs. Sometimes watching a game can be more pleasurable than reading Mishlei. Excuse me for being heretical, for being an apikoiris. Well, what can I do? I'm not allowed to lie. No. Sometimes going to the zoo can be more pleasurable than Baba Basra. I learn Baba Basra because I have to learn Baba Basra. And sometimes it is geshmak, sometimes it's not. I do it even if it's not geshmak because I have to do it. You know, you do it with the Evcheshek or not. You do it because that's what you have to do. And sometimes it can be very schmuck. The tastiest, most delicious thing in the world, for sure, but not all the time. And sometimes doing other things outside of Torah and Mitzvahs can be more geschmack and more nice. And it doesn't mean that I've assimilated and become a goy. There's plenty of things in the world that are more pleasurable. And they're there for our pleasure. Adam Eidu Nivra Elelis Anek. The greatest tainug is Hashem, for sure. But there's other tainugim in the world as well. You know, there's chocolate. I'm sorry to shock you, but your chocolate's more delicious. There's a big pleasure in chocolate. Oh, we'll see. So that's the vortia. The vortia is no matter what you're doing, but tying it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can have a piece of chocolate that can more mechaber you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I told you the mice by the ice creams with either it was Revolbi or of Scheinberg. I heard the story from one person and he told me, I heard it from him twice. And once he said Rav Scheinberg, once he said Rav Holbein, and afterwards I spoke to him, he said he should, it was Rav Scheinberg, well now I'm about him, but Lozoche. When he was sitting in a chassan, he was busy sitting there eating ice cream. Now whether it was Rav Scheinberg or Rav Holbein, neither of them were ma'od in their, and certainly in their older lives were not exactly mechubah to the pleasures of this world, sitting there eating ice creams at a chassan. There was a Talmud there and he wanted to understand if the Rav's sitting there eating ice cream in a chasana, there's a reason. I have a posher reason why he's eating ice cream because of some Simcha Wasserman Zatzal said that ice cream is a taste chaser. We're not supposed to eat meat. Humans are only allowed to eat meat after the flood. Yeah, everyone was a vegetarian before, after the Gan Eden. Adam and Rishon ate meat. And then he sinned and they said, no more barbecues, that's it. The Malachim stopped roasting steaks for him. No biltong, he has to go, that's it, he has to now live like a rabbit, you know, eating vegetables. After the flood, we were allowed to eat meat. So Reb Simcha pointed out that when you eat meat, it always leaves a taste, always leaves an aftertaste. No matter how geschmack that steak was, but afterwards there's a little bit of a, not such a nice taste. So that's why you eat something sweet afterwards, it's called a taste chaser, that's what he used to say. That's what dessert is for. So it could be Rav Scheinberg was eating the ice cream because there's a taste chaser. He'd had some meat at the chasana and he was getting rid of the bitter taste in his mouth. So I don't have a kash. But anyway, this Talmud understood the way he was eating, that he was eating Zeloya Normali. So I went to him, Taira. I asked him, Rebbe, what's with the ice cream? He said, bring me two more and I'll tell you. One for me and one for you. So I was like completely bewildered. Yeah. So he went, he brought him two ice creams. He had another one. He ate the second one. He gave the other one to his Talmud. And he said, the whole day I'm pretty isolated from the world and its problems. I'm sitting in the yeshiva. I'm learning. I'm teaching. And I don't get that exposed to, I'm not that open and exposed to the world. That's why the problem with Rav Scheinberg, because Rav Scheinberg had, he was very interesting, of the Gedolim, Rav Scheinberg had an open house. From 3 to 6 every day, Rav Scheinberg's house was open. Anybody who wanted to go see him or speak to him could go. He was sitting in the lounge learning, and you could go and see him. And there were very rarely queues there, because once you open up and let anybody come, whatever they want, so there's no queues. If you would say Rav Scheinberg only sees people from 3 to 3:15 every day, there would have been queues down Panim Meirot the whole day. But he was open. He was completely open to the world. Revolvi was in the yeshiva the whole day. I don't know how much he was exposed to the public. Whatever. But he said, the whole day I'm busy. You know, I'm not involved. When I come to chasana, so people come up to me, they're talking to me, they're tzoros, they're telling me their problems, they start, I have to miss my chosen v'kala. But I'm sitting here overwhelmed with all the problems that have been put on my head since I arrived at the chasana. So a bit of ice cream gives me a bit of nachas ruach, and I'm able to go miss my chosen v'kala properly. Yeah, that's using ice cream properly. Everything in the world is a resource. If you can learn better with air conditioning on, why is it off? Yeah, for sure. For sure. Of course, the physical world is there to be used in order to enhance our pleasure so we can serve Hashem better. The problem is when you start using it for its own sake. You start using it for its own sake, just for the pure hedonistic pleasure of that thing. But what's wrong with using the physical pleasures in this world? And not just the physical pleasures, the emotional pleasures, the aesthetic pleasures of the world, watching a sunset, what's wrong with it? As long as you use it properly, it's like everything. Any tool in this world can be used correctly or incorrectly. You can write Chiddush HaTorah with a pen and you can poke out someone's argot with a pen. So is the pen good or bad? It's we choose to use it correctly. That's what we mean by exclusivity. Doesn't mean sitting locked in a little cave somewhere up in Tibet and only thinking about Hashem the whole day. That's not our derech. Our derech is to work and get married and raise children and do all the things that go with raising children. Sometimes you have to go buy their milkshake. Sometimes you have to kick ball with them. There are a lot of things that we do that seemingly have no shaykhus to Torah v'mitzvahs. But what we do in our heads with that, that's what determines whether this is part of Hashem or not. We decide whether this is Hashem or not. The mice is the same. You can have two fathers and two sons kicking ball in the park. And the one is mamash dovuk to Hashem, and the other one doesn't know there's Hashem in the world. And you look at the video, they're doing exactly the same thing. But the one father's out there because he's playing ball with his son, because that'll help him build the kesha, and he'll give the kid more cheshek to go learn. And this father's doing it because that's part of his mitzvah of chinuch, and Hashem comes with, he davens to Hashem that this should be a successful encounter. That's an exclusive relationship. Or if he goes out there and he kicks ball with his son because he just wants to kick ball because it's kaif, it's kashmak playing ball. He wants to play ball. Yeah, he wants his son to be the next whatever, Maradona or whatever, you know, first Peseda. Messi. Maud Messi, if you want your kid to be the next Messi. It's very messy. But that's the... So what you understand, you have to use your head. It's the same with eating. A person can eat because he enjoys the food and it's geschmack and it's tainuk. A person can do the same act of eating and just switch something in his head and the whole achid is kedusha. It's like bringing kabbalas. Not by being frum and holy and you know. No, just by thinking what you're doing. By getting proper pleasure out of the food. Look at the unbelievable food. The colors, the taste, the textures. When you chew, enjoy the food. But what do you do with that pleasure? You give it back to Hashem. Big difference here. And therefore, you can go through life not changing anything in your life and switch from being over the Lord Taseh of, you know, worshipping other gods or being completely with Anoich Hashem Elokecha the whole time. I'm with Hashem just because I'm just using my brain a little bit. By the way, to start, you don't have to do this all the time, every time. If you do this once a day, you're already on the road to greatness. Just once a day do this. You know how great you'll become.
This idea... doesn't go for everything. Like, you can't say that I'm going to watch a movie. But it's gonna
not talk about things that are awesome. What about things that are awesome? Things that are awesome, awesome. For sure. For sure. I know a certain woman that Rav Moshe Sternberg told her husband, who's a big Talmud Chochem, big Talmud of Rav Moshe's, that he should buy his wife a television. Now, anybody knows who Rav Moshe Sternberg is, knows that Rav Moshe is not from the, from the Mekilim, from the Reform Rabbi community. You know, Rav Moshe Sternberg. You know, he's a geshmak yid, but he's from the, he's from Eidech Reides. He's from the Kanoim. You know, from the, whatever. He told his wife to buy television. The woman who was mentally not very stable. She used to bounce in and out of terrible depressions, and Rav Moshe helped for her. It would be therapeutic. So sure, just gave everybody a head to watch television now. No, chas v'chalila. I'm just saying, everything can be utilized as a resource properly. But if something's also, it's also. Heroin. Heroin's terrible, but morphine? Morphine's one of the greatest relievers of pain that there is. It saved people's lives. And it's destroyed entire communities at the same time. Everything's like that. How you use it, when you use it, what you use it for, what your kavanas are. Well, that's we determine whether this thing is Hashem or not. That's all. That's why it sounds like an awesome task. This is a massive task. I have to give up everything I do and just sit and say Tehillim the whole day. No, you'll go mad. You can't do that. Slowly, slowly, yeah, excellent. If you do it once a day, you do this once a day, is it changing all your assimilation? Lat, yeah, it's gonna start impinging on your whole life, for sure. It's the process, yeah. But once you take a step in that direction, you're really a different person. Know one thing and know this well, okay? Any system, the most simple or complex system, if one small thing changes in that system, it's not the same system anymore. It's a different system. But it's just one small tiny screw. You know, it's a small change, but it's a new system. It's not the same as it was before. If I've changed even tweeny little bit, so then I'm a different person. I'm somebody new. I don't have to make earth-shattering, major bombshell changes. That's what the Yetzirah wants you to think. He wants you to think that you have to do massive things which are impossible, so you won't do them. That's why when you try and do something small, look how hard the Yetzirah fights. Wow. Take on to learn one Mishnah a day. Learning one Mishnah, I'm just using an example. Take on to learn one Mishnah a day, one Halacha a day. It's easier to do Daf Yomi than to learn one Mishnah a day. You know why? Because you learn one Mishnah a day, you'll eventually become great. The Eitz Hara is not going to let you do that. Take one thing in your life that you enjoy, that you're doing, that you know you're not doing it kol kach for Hashem, and start being aware of what we spoke about today. Just the awareness alone already. Just the awareness alone already puts you in a different dimension. You're on the road to greatness. It's an enormous achievement. Enormous achievement. For sure. Especially when you're coming from a background of the Western world and it's very much part of your culture and your society and your bones and your flesh and you have to uproot it. It's not so simple. So it's very worthwhile. Okay. All right. I think let's stop there. And then, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we'll come back and we'll deal. We'll pick this up again. We'll start dealing with the first chet. The first chet was the chet the eagle. The first chet of Klal Yisrael as an Am. The first chet, let's say, of Am Yisrael's first chet was the chet eagle. We'll have to see how that fits into this. But that's those of you who've heard of Noach Weinberg's five levels of pleasure. I'm sure you've all heard that share. Yeah, there's five levels of pleasure in the world. He learned it out from the Sefer Chinuch. Now, the lowest level is, how much time have we got here? The lowest level is just plain physical pleasure, chocolate bar. The level above that is love, the pleasure you get from your children, your grandchildren, love, friendship, connections. The level above that is the level you get from doing the right thing. Yeah, from just doing the right thing, being noble, being the right thing. The level above that is creativity, and the level above that is dveikus to Hashem. Well, the five levels of pleasure. So they used to say, you can fly first class, or you can fly fifth class. You know, you can go through this world with fifth class pleasure, just enjoying chocolate bars and seeing how many chickens you can eat. you know, or you can go through this world doing something a little bit more noble, doing something a little bit more, you know, meaningful. Yeah. Anyway, I haven't got time now. If you remind me tomorrow, I'll show you that you would give up all the physical pleasure and all the emotional love pleasures just to do something correct, just to do the right thing in the world. It's such a hard pleasure just doing the right thing in the world. That ruchnias dika thing that comes from doing something right, yeah, for yourself, not because anybody would find out or know or whatever, just inside yourself doing the right thing, you would give up all the money and love in the world. And I'll prove it to you tomorrow if you stick around, remind me, I'll prove it to you. But the vortia is you can even take the chocolate bar, which is the lowest level of pleasure, and you can make that first class pleasure. If when you're eating the chocolate bar, now I'm not talking about eating the chocolate bar because you're going to use the chocolate to serve Hashem now. that's already, let's be realistic, okay? Nobody's eating in order to serve Hashem. We don't know what, we don't, whatever. You eat because it's good, because yeah, you'll use the energy to serve Hashem. But Rav Pinkus used to say today, just eat the food and enjoy it. And that enjoyment, recognize that comes from Hashem. That already is first class pleasure. It's a different, it's a kedusha. You've just made the food and you're eating kodesh. Not in a holy sort of, you know, rolling your eyes back kind of a way. Just because you're enjoying the food and you're saying to Hashem, thank you so much for this pleasure. Wow, that's, you do that once a day. That's unbelievable greatness. How many people are doing that? This requires a bit of machshava, you know. Like the Navi said, Ami lo mitbonen, my nation doesn't think. That's the biggest tain Hashem has against us. We just don't think. Stop, think for 2 minutes. Plan it. Take one meal a day when you know that you've got a bit of yeshiva das, you're not in a hurry, you're not rushing. And before you eat, just look at the food and have a look and see, wow, this food's unbelievable. It's miraculous. Unbelievable. Just look at the colors. And then when you put it in your mouth, the first bite, chew it and enjoy the taste. Don't just gobble it down. Be a connoisseur. You know, just enjoy it. Not for its own sake, but to be able to say, wow, Shem, sure, look what you did. He could have given you little, you know, little grape pills to swallow that'll give you all the nourishment you need. No, but he didn't do like that. He gave you, Mama, look at the variety of food we have in the world today. The different color vegetables. I mean, you can sit and eat a salad. You can go nuts from just looking at the beauty of a salad. But don't just enjoy the beauty for its own sake. Give it back to Hashem. That's taking fifth class pleasure and elevating it in one step all the way up to first class pleasure. With a little bit of machshava. Ktzat machshava. You don't have to be, have to meditate for hours on this. Ktzat machshava. Okay, to be continued. Because you see, it's not so posh to be told that marriage is exclusive and that you need to guard that exclusivity is not so posh. Not so posh. First of all, we know what's going on in the world today. That's number one. It's not so posh. Not so posh. And number two, it doesn't just mean, you know, the worst case scenario. But sometimes you walk in the street and your eyes look at things they shouldn't look at. There's a gam chaylek mizeh. You know? I'm in a base midrash, but it's Torah. But sometimes you look at another guy's wife and you have thoughts. Nobody here, but there are people out there that sometimes it could happen. It's already. You're talking in the marshal. In the nimshal between us and Hashem, you don't have a problem. Understand that our relationship with Hashem is far from exclusive. Even when I'm davening and talking to Hashem, I don't think about Hashem. You know what I'm saying? If you would ask me, my mashgiach always used to say, you know, if you would ask me to think about Hashem when I'm not talking to him, that's hard enough. But when you're talking to him, at least think, you know, at least think about him. You know, you're benching, you know. So you get up after benching, 5 minutes later, you can't remember if you benched or not. Imagine if you phone the doctor and 5 minutes later, your wife said, what did the doctor say? And you say, well, I can't remember if I spoke to the doctor. Did I speak to the doctor? Didn't I speak to the doctor? Yeah, when did that ever happen to you? Never. But that can happen that you get up from benching and 5 minutes later, you can't remember if you benched or not. I know somebody who davened 2 minchas the other day. They davened mincha and then they forgot. They davened mincha again. It can happen. Yeah, that ever happened to you with the doctor? You find the doctor and 5 minutes later, he phone you back again. He finds your wife to say, listen, I think you should check your husband out. You know, he just phoned me twice in 5 minutes. But that happens to us. What do you mean? Well, what's the problem? The problem is that we're not exclusive. It goes much deeper. Men are not designed to be exclusive. You must know that. men produce, just biologically I'm talking, men produce unbelievable amounts of potential and koyach. Men can skip from one mission to the next. Yeah? The nature of exclusivity is the female dimension. Where the woman takes one thing and one thing only, gets rid of everything else and creates one child. What the man gives the woman is infinite potential. What does she do? She destroys it all and makes one real child. The man is the potential. The man is the koyach to create infinite things. So that's why it's hard to get guys to get married. Because the minute the guy decides he's going to marry this girl, he suddenly realizes, 1 second, there's another 1,000 girls up there that are my team for me. Yeah, so what does he do? He never gets married. It's like the kid. You send a kid down to the chocolate ice cream, the 99 flavor store ice cream with a dollar or $5, whatever it costs today. And you tell him, go buy an ice cream. What happens? He comes back an hour later crying with $5 in his hand. Because when he decided he's going to have the cherry super duper waffle flavor, you know, sundae crash with the chocolate chips inside, as he saw that, he suddenly looked and there was this other thing sort of flicking in his face, you know, the chocolate maple, whatever, yeah? And then he can't choose because he wants this, he wants this, he wants this, he wants that. That's why men are created. That's the male dimension. Women are not like that, generally speaking. Generally speaking, the female dimension is very exclusive. It takes one thing and it builds one thing. Men can't do that. That's what maturity requires. Maturity requires to recognize that if you're going to carry on just living with potential, never have anything. We also have a female dimension inside of ourselves, and we have to utilize that female dimension to actually do something, not just flesh out potential. But that's, yeah, okay, but that's a whole share on its own. That's a whole discussion on its own. Why it's so hard for us to be exclusive. Okay, got to go. More tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.
Amen.
Take good care. Freilike Chanukah.